It was like the difference between night and day. Actually, it was the difference between night and day. Part of our family's time on the road this past summer included a round trip between the San Francisco Bay Area and Washington State. And due to a variety of factors, part of the northbound trip took place during some nighttime hours. By contrast, on the return, heading back south, all of the time spent on the road in that direction took place during daylight hours, and what a difference that made. On the return trip, we saw something that we had completely missed on the way up north, namely Mount Shasta, enormous Mount Shasta, strikingly impressive Mount Shasta. That gigantic volcano was in exactly the same place on the southbound route as it had been on the northbound route, and it was remarkably close to the interstate, but on the way up, we didn't see a single pebble of it because we were completely in the dark. And giving credit where credit is due, when we headed back south and saw the mountain, it was my wife who detected a possible chapel address illustration, noting how a person can be completely oblivious even to something enormous if one doesn't have the light necessary to see it. The greatest of all existing things, of course, is God. He's bigger, brighter, more powerful than anything else, and his existence is well known. People can see from the evidence that surrounds us that there is a God. A natural knowledge of God's existence is a part of every human being. But knowing merely that God exists is like knowing that there's a mountain that exists, but not having the ability to see what it's really like. And everybody is born in the dark regarding God's true nature, and especially regarding God's love. Natural man can see the evidence for the existence of God, but natural man cannot see the love of Christ. That is something which we are enabled to see only when the Spirit brings us into his day, a love which deserves even fuller exploration. In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul verbalized a multifaceted prayer for the Ephesian Christians in which he highlights the love of the Lord. It was his prayer that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. In this letter, Paul was addressing Christians. He was writing to people who had been brought out of their natural spiritual darkness. In the opening verses of his epistle, he said, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." The Holy Spirit had brought these Ephesians out of their natural darkness. He had led them to a far fuller understanding of who God really is and what God is really like. He had opened their eyes to see clearly that God, the true God, is much closer, much more caring, much more concerned, much more connected with our lives than the vague, fictitious gods made up in human minds. What's more, the Spirit had brought these Ephesians to an understanding that God had provided a free gift of salvation through simple faith in his Son Jesus. In other words, these Ephesians had been brought to saving faith. Now, Paul longed to see an expansion in their understanding of God's greatest attribute. It was his heartfelt desire that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ. So continuing this analogy of the mountain sighting, think of the mountain in terms of being the love of Christ, that which the Lord now wants us to comprehend to an ever greater extent. There he is, there it is, the love which Jesus has manifested for us all. The Scriptures set before us this enormous mountain of his love with its impressive width and height and depth and length. a width, length, depth, and height that dwarf all else. Consider the width of Christ's love. It extends far beyond the furthest boundaries of east and west. Jesus, thy boundless love for me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare, wrote the hymn writer in heartfelt appreciation for the fact that the love of the Lord can never run out. Consider the length of Christ's love. He has shown that he will go to any length to do whatever it is that we need done. Nothing could have been more unpleasant for Christ than to experience the forsakenness of God. Nothing could have been more foreign to his nature than to undergo death. But his love for us motivated him and moved him to go to the God-forsaken cross in order that he might deliver us from death. Consider the depth of Christ's love. His is a love that never hits bottom. He never says to a Christian, "That's it. I can no longer love you. I will no longer love you because of what you have done and these various things that you have done in contradiction to my will and my law." Instead, his heart continues to beat for us without regard for the injury it suffers when we so utterly fail to love him back. Consider the height of Christ's love. Nothing is higher, not even the enormous heap of our transgressions. His sin-covering love covers even the enormous guilt we have accumulated. Despite the height of our sin, Christ's love is always higher, covering our iniquity so that it can no longer condemn. The love of Christ, like a great mountain, is mind-boggling in its width, its depth, its height, its length. It's so great that it cannot possibly be fully known by our limited hearts and minds. It passes knowledge, Paul says. And yet, he prays that Christians might know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's a bit of a paradox, really, for Paul to say that we should know that which can't be known. But his point in presenting that paradox appears primarily to be that we should always be in pursuit of expanding our grasp of God's love. He's urging us to mine that spiritual gold in that inexhaustible mountain. Will be much richer for it. He's encouraging us to study and ponder the countless manifestations of Christ's love in the Scriptures and even in our lives. We'll be much better off as a result. What a blessing that we, who were once in the dark about the love of Christ, have been given eyes to see his mountainous love. And what an additional blessing is found in the fact that the love of Christ awaits further discovery. So ponder the width, the depth, the height, the length of Christ's love, and thereby gain an ever wider, deeper, lengthier, and higher joy. A hymn which speaks of this depth and height and width is hymn 760. This morning, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Hymn 760, stanzas 1, 4, and 5.